All right, let's get more on this Pelosi planned visit to Taiwan, because it's certainly likely to raise hackles, as we've been reporting in Beijing. It already has. Let's get to Ian Marlow, Bloomberg diplomatic correspondent. And Ian, you got to ask yourself, what's her upside here? And actually, it puts Beijing into, they put themselves perhaps into a corner while this is all going on too.
Yeah, I think, hey, Rich, I think both of the sides have put themselves into a corner here. I mean, there's very little that China can do now without responding, in some kind of fiery, nationalistic, most likely military fashion. And for Pelosi herself, if she had declined to go, it would have been widely seen as capitulation to China. And so it's a good question what the upside is here. And I think for Pelosi, a lot of people here in D.C. are wondering whether she will still be House Speaker on the other side of the midterm elections here, with the Biden administration and Democrats going in here with record high inflation, you know, high gas prices and the rest of it. So there is a sense here that she may want to cap off her congressional career, one that has been marked as being a China hawk and a human rights advocate for many years on these issues, with a final thumb in the eye with a trip to Taiwan, which is obviously very
sensitive. Do you think that there would be some back channel discussion about that? She's 82 years old, and maybe that behind the scenes, the U.S. is saying this to the Chinese side: look, this is a kind of grandstanding event. We weren't for it. Foreign policy is generally directed by the executive branch of the government, not the Congress. Is it likely that that may have occurred, or do you think that the U.S. is actually, they want to poke China, and this is a part of it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, I think that the White House and others here have been pretty overt in saying that they have been talking to China about this trip. They have been kind of stressing that it's a co-equal branch of government, that they're not directing Pelosi. I think, this was part of a planned trip earlier in the year, as you said earlier, that, she wanted to go, but she had come down with COVID. And so I think now it's just she wanted to reschedule this trip. There was, there's just the timing is so terrible with the party Congress coming up for Xi, midterm elections coming up for Biden. There's very little either side could have done to back down. But I think there's definitely been a lot of back channel stuff. But as you've seen with a lot of the high-level talks that have gone on between China and the U.S. over the last few months, it really does seem like both sides are just kind of reading talking points to each other, kind of talking past each other. This is what we're saying about Taiwan. We don't control Pelosi, et cetera. We're not meaning to kind of, raise tensions here. And China just going, look, this is a red line. This is super sensitive. We're going to respond harshly, et cetera. So I think it's just you got to a point where both sides are kind of pushing this and can't back down.
I hate to be the cynic, but I'm going to be one anyway. So I probably don't hate being one that much. Nationalism is the refuge for the scoundrel. And it is at a time when China's slowdown and the banking system teetering right now. Of course, as we've been hearing about what's going on housing wise, what better distraction? On the other hand, we've got the Democrats showing their China credentials by instituting or carrying out this visit, and that's ahead of the midterm. So, I am being a cynic. Your reaction?
No, absolutely. I mean, I'll vie with you for the most cynical in this conversation. I think it's both, both benefit from this tension being kind of cranked up here. And if anyone's responsible for cranking up nationalism and militarism in China over the last, few years, it's Xi himself. And I think, with things going badly, whether it's, the general COVID policy, which again, people in Washington now are sort of openly mocking as a strategy in terms of how it's been working out and what the future is for it. People do view, Xi as being having his reputation dented, not just on zero COVID, but on the economy and other things. So I think this is a particularly febrile time for Xi to be reacting. I think the worry here is that with both sides kind of yearning to prove something and having domestic constituencies that are amped up to be the desired audience for this, that there is actually a chance that there is some miscalculation, you know, a missile that's fired off the coast of Taiwan that is kind of not properly relayed or radared in properly. So I think there is
Ian, but I think we can see from the market reaction, there hasn't been much of one, that the point that you were making, the point that I suggested with the grandstanding, and the one that Rish made was that everybody seems to think that this will go kind of pro forma. Both sides will up the hyperbole, and well, let's say hopefully we won't have any kind of super negative outcome. Ian, thanks very much for joining us. As usual, we got to get you back to Hong Kong at some point. Ian Marlow with us, Bloomberg diplomatic correspondent.